And there was only a couple people, again, that didn't want to hear the story. They wanted their free gas. They were upset the fact that they were there in the first place, and they were headed out. So, and then I had one guy that he is headed overseas, and in April. And so I asked him, because he came back once after he paid, and I asked him, I said, so are you nervous? Because he knew I was already had been in the service, because that's one thing I had in common with him. And he's like, no, not really. But to me, that's a sense of, I have peace. I know where I'm going. I have a duty. I have a job. And that's where, you know, in the last couple of weeks we were talking, that's where we as Christians need to be every day. I'm at peace. I can talk about Jesus every day. Because I know where I'm going. I'm good with this. So that was encouragement. So thank you.
Thanks, Benny. Somebody else want to share?
Rocked it out, too.
Oh, come on. I know there's more stories. Stand up, come, bud.
There's a lady that came two times. And what she was just sharing with me how she just loves to help her family no matter what's going on. It could be 3 a.m. Then she shared a story with me how she carries everything in her car. Like she has like a ridiculous industrial size jack in her car because she said, you never know if someone needs a jack. So I didn't be prepared. She's like, awesome. She carries winter gear. Like fully loaded, prepared for any situation. You never know when someone needs the help. So, and she was sharing that with me. Why she ended up coming twice was she filled up her car. Then one of her family was like, hey, you should do my car. So she went and got their car. And then while she was doing that, one of her niece's cars, you should do mine too. So she was telling me the story. And then we just got to talking. I was like, it sounds like you're really living out something the scriptures teaches us. And then we started talking about how God calls us to serve one another. And that's one of the reasons why Soldier was there. So it was just awesome for her to share her story as how she loves to serve others. And for me to share with her, like, we're actually doing that because God is calling us to. And not just because we like helping out in this place, being obedient to the Lord God. So it was a great conversation.
Awesome. Thanks, James. Somebody else?
Somebody tell the story about the young man that takes somebody's gas.
Sure. Oh. Yeah, I can share. So he saw on Facebook we were doing the gas buy down, and he said, man, I just want to be a part of that. I don't really need gas. And so he actually showed up, parked behind the gas station where all of us parked, walked up and said, how can I help? Wow. And I said, well, you can definitely volunteer. I mean, you can plug in pretty much anywhere and just start helping. And he's like, well, I don't really have a lot of time. Can I just donate some money? And so in that moment, I'm like, well, we could take money, but then I put it in the offering this morning and it doesn't really have the same effect. And so I just challenged him. I said, well, if you want to give money, would you, as somebody pulls up to the pump, would you stop and ask them if you could pay for their gas? And that would be your way to have that conversation with somebody who you want to bless. And he goes, yeah, I'll do that. And so I think it happened on Benny's side. And so he got to see it from that perspective. But that was the challenge that I placed for him. There was another guy, same thing. How can I donate some money? And I was like, well, you could hand it to the person next to you, and that would be your way to bless them. So I think it was a really awesome thing to see, like, people in the community saw what we were doing and said, I want to be a part of that. Another person, Marisa, she works at the Prairie Den downtown. She saw the same ad. She goes, man, I'd love to come and volunteer. Oh, okay. And she did. The last 45 minutes, she shows up, she volunteers, she's handing out goodie bags, and then she went to Pizza Ranch with us afterwards. And so it was really cool to see that when we're on mission, people want to join in. Not just because it's Sojourn, but because it's the love of Jesus being shown. It's really cool. Somebody else have something else? And maybe it's a story of somebody who was at the pump. Maybe it's something you saw someone else doing. Maybe somebody who was serving that maybe you just noticed throughout the day.
Well, our resident gentle giant, Les, over here, he was a mean machine on that window washing. It was cool. Like, he was just on it. I think he almost got hit by at least one car, maybe more than that. I saw that one, man. I was close. It was close. But he was just so, like, passionate and excited about it that he's just on it, on the cars, cleaning them up and doing small talk with everyone. It was really cool. So just to encourage Les here, he did an awesome job.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Yes.
Les.
made the news last two.
You sure did. You're on it.
You're on it.
What else?
Shout out to Brent. You did a great job representing the church and representing Jesus on the news yesterday.
Thanks.
That was cool.
Thanks. Yeah.
That was. I'm surprised they put it all in there, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, we did exactly what we were wanting to do, so.
Small side note, you wouldn't know this because it wasn't online or on a video. While we were doing our gas buy down, someone from Atonement Lutheran that came through, got some gas, saw what we were doing, went home, sent an email that said, I would love to know how you planned all this and how you did this so that Atonement Lutheran could do this to bless people in South Fargo. And so I've already emailed him and talked to him. And he's like, oh, let's get together. Let's figure that out. So it's a multiplication of the kingdom here in the city of Fargo and Moorhead. And I mean, it's pretty cool to see that, right? So you don't know that, but now you do. Now you do.
Trendsetter. How many people did we actually serve, do you know?
So the number of people, I don't know. I know we had over 50-something emails. But as you saw some of the prayer requests, not everybody put an email down. And so if you do just gallons, we had over 2,000 gallons of gas pumped. So 2,099 gallons pumped. So I don't know how many people that would be, but easily probably 100. Easily 100. Yeah. So we definitely rolled through a lot of cars. And it traffic-wise, everything went so smoothly. So smoothly. So thank you for that. I'm going to put Alex on the spot. So Alex, you want to share about something that happened yesterday?
There was a lady who came in. She didn't have the best history with churches, and so she'd gone to a church. Her husband had been divorced, had divorced her, and so she went to her church community for support. And they were. And the first question they asked, "Well, have you guys ever completed becoming members?" And she goes, "Well, no." And then they kind of step back. Well, we'll help you after you finish that process. And that was kind of sad. And then she felt kind of betrayed by that. And her husband's leaving her, and she's got, I can't remember, it was one or two kids. So she left the area, went back home, or up here, I can't remember exactly, put into her family's church. And when she wanted prayer, wanted to talk to people, there was really no one there. Well, she approached the pastor who kind of said he was available and understanding to talk about things. And he was like, well, you're not really a member, so that's two in a row for her. Later on, she got to know a pastor, and she was very curious about Nineveh. She just didn't know anything about him. She wanted to ask him. And spoke to him, and he goes, oh, I never heard of that. I don't know. And she was like, okay, that's three for three. And so she didn't feel that she could really connect to a community church. And she says, oh, I pray every day. I read my Bible. And she's missing a really core component to her faith that helps balance you, to stabilize you. Yeah, I'll should have mentioned that. But, I made a point at that point, just kind of talking to him, like, you want an approach from the pastor? So I stole Brent over. So like, so approachable, I can just snag him from whatever he's doing right now and come talk to you. And then Brent had a good conversation with her about how important it was to actually know your Bible as a leader. And
there was a lot of tears. So this was like a 5 to 10 minute conversation. It was really, like, she was just like, I'm here. And she's crying, you know. She really, she actually said, I was going to stop at the gas station by Moorhead High School. But some reason I ended up over here. Now I know why. Like, it was really just like, yeah, that's great. We had somebody from Canada. Did y'all see that? She said they came down for her birthday. I said they came down for cheap gas, but either way.
Someone from Texas.
You know,
I saw
nice, Ohio.
I'll share.
Yeah.
I shared with our group that a couple came through, bought both of their cars from South Fargo. They are co-workers of ours. John and Jeremy and Brent used to work with her at the Y. And then they all left the Y. And then I ended up working with her as well. And now Crystal, through her job, also is interacting with her. And this couple is intentionally not believers. Pretty vocal about how they do not need the Lord and are pretty much against it. So this is the first, I mean, they've known us for years, and this is the first outreach event that they have come to, which is really exciting. I mean, it was a you know, pretty self-serving outreach for them to come to fill up their cars with gas, but it got them there. And so that was really exciting that we got to share with them. And I think somebody said Nick, the husband, even shared how he really enjoyed talking to Tony. And so that, like, the door has been opened that they were willing to come to one of our outreach events. And Crystal was praying for them, and it was just really cool that even the most lost soul, the most against the Lord, is not too far from Him saving them and changing their heart. So pray for the Nelsons, and that we would continue to have intentional conversations and interactions with them.
Amen. And for the folks that stayed back to watch the kids, thank you. That was really cool.
I know, sorry about that.
Okay.
Made me happy. Theo, I took him aside and took him upstairs to go to the bathroom, and he just stopped and goes, "Mom, I'm really happy." And for him to say his emotions is not something he ever does at all. And so to know that he was happy, and I was asking him about that. He was happy because he got to be with friends and with loving people, surrounded by loving people. So that's really cute.
That's awesome. Tennyson's like, "I'm happy. I'm happy right now."
So, all the people that helped Crystal and Maria and Abby, that was also a testimony to people keeping their cool, because there was definitely some times where they lost it. So,
well,
the
thank
kids
you.
Lost it or the adults?
I did. Well, well, let that be up for debate.
The adults kept their cool, the kids lost it.
Oh, I think if you take the whole day into perspective, it was really a great time for us to be a family on mission. Like, as you looked around, we saw Dan holding a sign for like 2 hours, and that was the role for the day. Man, he's like, "I'm in it," you know? I mean, we had Ricardo and other people that were around the building that weren't necessarily underneath the by the pump. Here's the gospel. But we were working together to share the gospel. And it was so encouraging to look around and go, "Wow, look at all that God is doing." And it's not just in the event, but it's in us as a family together. It was so exciting, so exciting. And as we look at this morning at the triumphal entry, you're thinking, how does that connect? But really, it connects because yesterday was us as a family saying, you know what? Sharing the good news must happen. And it must happen. It doesn't always have to happen with a gas buy down or a big event, but it can. And so yesterday we did go into those 2 hours with an urgency that the gospel needed to be heard. Because we could have easily just said, "Hey, have a nice day, here's free gas." But we wanted to make sure they took away either the heard, the verbal gospel, or written down on a piece of paper that Jesus can be trusted, that Jesus is King. And so this morning, as we look at the triumphal entry, that's what it's going to show us, that Jesus is King. And there's an urgency because there are two scriptures that point out we don't really have tomorrow. James 4:14 says that our life is a vapor. So quit trying to plan tomorrow. Just live in the moment right now. In 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, Paul actually writes to the Corinthian church and says, "Hey, today is the day of salvation. You have Jesus today. Jesus might come again tomorrow." And so, like, take the moment right now. Right now is the time to trust in Jesus and be saved. And so we went in yesterday with this urgency that yes, the gospel needs to be heard. But it doesn't just end yesterday. It continues in our daily life that we say the gospel must be heard. It must be believed, because if we know that we're not guaranteed tomorrow, that Jesus could come back this afternoon, if we knew that, we would be more willing not to just trust in Jesus, but to share that good news with others. I mean, think about the things that get you moving in life. Is it a deadline? Think about taxes. Anybody, April 15th is just looming. Anyone? Because you know if you don't get the taxes done, you're going to pay a penalty, right? So you have that deadline. It's like firm. It's written in stone. And so you're going to move towards getting that done. What about anybody moved or into action because of sales that exist out there? Thrift store? Okay. Well, if you think about like Black Friday, we're going into Good Friday this week, but think about Black Friday around Thanksgiving. What makes them so exciting every year? The fact that there's a six-hour window that you can make it to Target to get the TV that's only going to be $99. Because that window, it's at price. And so you're going to go, it's that time clock, right? Timothy, I bet if there's a game, like a video game out there, that has like a time clock that's counting down, you're going to feel more like urgent to get it done, right? You're going to pray faster. That urgency is there. But if it's not there, you're going to take your time. You're going to, you know, dawdle. You might even come back to it the next day. Well, think about the deadline, the thing that's looming with Jesus. He came, and one day he will come again. We know that he will come again, but we don't know that date. But what if we actually lived our life knowing that Jesus will come again? With that urgency that we should trust him today, but also urge others to trust him more. And so that's what this morning we're going to look at, the triumphal entry of Jesus coming in as a king. And so really there's just going to be four things we see about him as a king, and they're all from the Old Testament. So Jesus is saying, hey, I'm a king. I can be trusted. But because of that, we know he will come again. And so there's this urgency to share. So let's look at Matthew 21, 1 through 17. And kiddos, Julia, Esther, Theo, Hannah, Livy, when you hear the word Hosanna, what are you going to do? Shout! You have the freedom to do that. All right? Parents are like, oh, I don't know. Here we go. Matthew 21, verse 1, it says, now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, they were crying out, what? Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant, and they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise? And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. We see in this passage, really, it's about Jesus. And so there's not really a lot of application for me to tell you this morning, be like Jesus. Instead, we're going to look at Jesus and go, Jesus is king. And this king that Jesus is coming as is a patient, a merciful, a gracious king. And so as we see him, he's going to declare his kingship in four ways. And the first way we're going to see is that he's riding on a donkey. I mean, literally, that's what he's doing. He's riding on a donkey. But if you were a king in those days and you were entering into a town, you were either going to do it two ways. You were going to do it peacefully on a donkey, or you were going to do it like a warrior king on a horse. So you see, Jesus is coming with peace in mind. And it's shown that he's a king. He's like intentionally showing the people, hey, I'm a king. He even goes, the gospel writer says here, look, he told the disciples to go get this donkey. A donkey who no one has ever ridden on. A king would only ride on his own horse, on his own steed, if you will. And so Jesus tells them to go ahead, and it actually fulfills Zechariah 9:9. And when you look at Zechariah 9:9, it's pointing towards the Messiah, the king that would come riding on a donkey into town. For the big picture, you see that it's peace. Think about Jesus and his kingship here. Jesus is coming and he's saying, I am bringing peace with me. If you were a Jewish person in that day, you're excited about that because you're like, yeah, he's going to bring peace because he's going to overthrow the Roman government. But that's definitely not the picture you see here. Jesus is bringing peace with him as he comes into town. He's riding on a donkey. And on there, you can see that on your notes, the Zechariah 9, 9 and 10 is something you can go and read and see how Jesus fulfills that. The next one you see that it really shows that Jesus is saying, hey, I'm a king. And not just any king, but the Messiah, the one that the Old Testament talks about. Look in verse 12. It says this, and Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." So this is where we say this is about Jesus and not about you. So if you come in next week and you're just throwing chairs around and you're like, "Yeah, I'm like Jesus," that's not what we're seeing here. This is Jesus proclaiming to the world that he is the one true king. He's actually fulfilling what Isaiah 56, 6 through 8 says. And it says that there will be this time where the house of God needs to be a house of prayer. And it's not going to be. It's going to be a den of robbers. But if you look at the context in Isaiah 56, 6 through 8, it's showing that this house of prayer is for the nations. And what's happening here is that the Jewish people, because all these people are traveling into Jerusalem, they're not really glorifying God in the temple. They're making money. They're putting on the show of religion, but not actually worshiping and glorifying God. So Jesus is indignant. He's passionately angry, not just to clean up the temple, but to glorify God. So what's Jesus' main thing as a king to do? He's going to glorify God. He's going to clean out the temple so that God can be seen by all the nations. He's saying, "I'm a king. I'm cleaning out this temple, not just so you can see it, it's nice and the religion can be fixed, but no, I'm going to be a king for everyone who trusts in me." Like, this is one action that is showing such a bigger thing. And so this morning, like, don't hesitate to trust in this Jesus, that he's coming to show you God's glory. The next one we're going to see is that Jesus shows mercy to heal the lame and the sick. Look in the next verse, verse 14. It's one sentence. It says, "And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them." So this is taking place at the temple. So this is like the main street of everything that is in Jerusalem. It's the most outward thing. And so throughout all of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first part, Jesus is doing miracles, and he's telling his disciples, "Shh, don't tell anybody. Shh, don't tell anybody." But here, he's in the most outwardly seen place, and he's healing people. What is he doing? He is showing to everyone, loud and clear, "Hey, I'm the Messiah, the one that the Old Testament talks about. The one that's going to come and bring healing, not just physically, but to everything. I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to make things whole." In Isaiah 35, 4 through 6, it talks about this. That the lame would leap, that the blind would see, that the sick would be healed. It's actually an interesting interaction. If you go back, John the Baptist is in jail, and he sends his disciples, "Can you go talk to Jesus and find out if he's the Messiah, if he's the one, to see if he's the king?" And so they go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, are you the Messiah?" And of course, Jesus didn't answer yes or no. What did Jesus do? He quotes Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. And he says, the blind will see, the lame will leap, and you will know that the Messiah has come. So Jesus here, in one simple act, when I say simple, we can't do these miracles, Jesus can. And Jesus is doing these miracles in public, and he's declaring to everyone, "I cannot just heal you. I'm bringing peace. I'm bringing this for everyone." So this is Jesus coming in on a donkey, bringing peace. This is a great king to trust. And it's the same for us this morning, that we prayed this morning for peace for these people from the gas buy down, to have a healthy family, to have, you know, surgery being taken care of, for sickness, for death, and these things that we do want peace now. But Jesus brings peace for eternity. The last thing we're going to see this morning is that Jesus acknowledges the children and their praise. So this morning, kids, you are important. Because this is what Jesus is saying in this whole story. And I want you to, like, imagine yourself in this moment. So, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he did. So the chief priests, they're seeing the miracles. They get mad. And they don't just get mad. What makes them even more mad is that the children are crying out what? "Hosanna to the Son of David." They're yelling out this word, "Hosanna," which means "God save us. God save us. The God save us, the King. The King is here." The Son of David literally meant that they understood Jesus was the King that David was promised in the Old Testament to come, to rule over not just Israel, but the whole world. From children, this is being yelled. Now, you might think, well, they're just yelling it because they walked with the crowd all the way to the temple. But I think by the time you get to the temple, everyone's yelling it. And then the Pharisees are looking around. And who are they going to get mad at? The kids. But then look at Jesus' response. They said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" His one word answer. Yes. Yeah. I hear them. And I'm going to let them yell it even louder. Yes. In the Gospel of Luke, the Pharisees actually get onto Jesus. Jesus, do you hear all these adults? They're yelling that you're this king, this Messiah that's coming. And he goes, you know what? Even if they weren't yelling, the rocks would be crying out the same thing. You see, Jesus is not just king because the kids are saying they're king. It's the universe declaring that Jesus is king, from the youngest infant to the oldest adult. That Jesus is universally created everything, and everything will bring him glory and bring him praise. So who is this king? He's King Jesus, right? He's a peaceful, merciful, patient king who can be trusted. He's bringing salvation to all of us. And that's what the triumphal entry reminds us of, right? Like, we're like, yes, that's it. Ooh, I like that Jesus. I can trust him. But as we began this morning, we are not guaranteed tomorrow. One day Jesus will come again. There is with us an understanding that Jesus came in peace in the triumphal entry, but there will be one day when Jesus returns as a warrior king. Look in Revelation 19. Revelation 19 gives us a picture of Jesus coming on a different animal, not a donkey. Verse 11 of chapter 19, it says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That Jesus, same Jesus, different mission. At that time, Jesus is a warrior king coming to fulfill God's wrath against sin. So if you're thinking of this as a war, you don't want to be on the side against Jesus. You don't want to have sin that you're sitting there owning still and being rebellious against God, because it says that he will strike down the nations and rule them with a rod of iron. One day Jesus will come as a king who is a conquering king, and he will come to dispense the wrath of God against sin. And it even goes on in chapter 20 to talk about that all of us, all of created humanity will one day be before the throne of God. And it will come down to the book of life, whether you have believed in Jesus, trusted in Jesus, this Jesus that entered as a king on Palm Sunday, this peaceful king, the one that can be trusted, the one that's brought salvation. And he weeps because the time is now to believe in salvation. So this morning, Palm Sunday, there's really two responses we can walk away with. We believe, we trust in Jesus now because we have the time now to do it. We have the time right now to believe and to trust in Jesus, to bow our knee, that because it says in Philippians, it one day all the knees in the whole world will bow before this King Jesus. But we've been given this opportunity now to believe. So if you have not believed, believe, trust. If we already believe, this morning we're reminded that we do have a Savior, a love of a King who is peaceful, who has brought all of these things to come to pass because he died on the cross and he rose again, but we don't keep it to ourselves. And so yesterday we did share the gospel because there's this urgency that one day Jesus will come again, and it will be too late for us to trust in Jesus and for our friends to trust in Jesus. And so we take not just the excitement of the gas buy down, we take the urgency that Jesus will come again and that we will all stand before the King and we'll be judged. But there is hope in Jesus now. So that should change the way we live today, tomorrow, the way we interact with our family, the way we interact with our coworkers, that we can trust and know Jesus now. So don't let the excitement of yesterday die with yesterday, with the stories we shared. But let the reality of King Jesus be the one thing that pushes us, propels us to share day after day after day. And not to share, but to bring God praise because he has saved us. So I want to ask you to join us this week. Monday, Thursday service, Good Friday, Easter next week. Because it's going to be this time of remembering what Jesus has done for us. So I'm excited. I'm excited because as a family, we are grasping what Jesus has done for us because we're on mission. And I want that to continue. That urgency to share and to show the love of Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the love of Jesus, that he came on a donkey to bring peace. This peaceful king that can be trusted for salvation, and that he is not just coming to be enthroned on a worldly throne, but he sits at the right hand of the Father right now, and he is reigning. And one day, God, he will come again as a conquering king. And God, I pray that we here this morning will be on his side, not as an enemy, but God, on his side, trusting and knowing that our Savior lives and he fights for us. Thank you for his sacrifice, that he was not just a king who conquered the world, but he's a king who conquered death. Thank you. Thank you for his love. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. That's right.